Blog Talk Radio.
Music, one of life's greatest pleasures, has tremendous power. The power to bring a tear to the eye or quiet a racing mind. Music also has the power to heal and has been used through the ages to treat depression, create energy, induce sleep, relieve chronic pain, reduce stress, and even cure diseases. And now, musician and author Michael Tyrrell has created Whole Tones, the healing frequency music projects. These frequencies were studied in the music of King David and believed to have astounding healing effects. Now you can benefit from this revitalized ancient healing music therapy simply by listening daily to this music in the comfort of your own home, car, or office. Reward yourself with the gift of healing and transformation. Don't miss this opportunity to get an absolutely free sample of this music so that you can begin benefiting right away. Just visit WholeTonesLive.com. WholeTonesLive.com. Whole Tones.
My collection is made of all the things that make me. You can tell my block got bigger, but I always remember where I started. And it feels great to move forward without leaving yourself behind. From uptown to downtown, it's all part of my style. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, thanks to where I've been. My style tells my story.
Introducing the Jennifer Lopez Collection, only at Kohl's.
Welcome to Relational Perspectives on Ask Kathleen. I'm a little tongue-tied. I am rolling with Loki. Hey, Loki, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
All right, we had to come in with a little bit more Mariah, a little mellow, since we're on Ask Kathleen. Had to bring it down a little bit, opposed to... what I normally like to come in on, a little something, you know, something with a little bit more beat. So
yeah, I was going to say, you know, something a little more thump.
You know, well, we're going to run Ask Kathleen's regular intro, and but we started that when we had a little technical difficulties earlier. But you know what? We're going to start it up just to give us a little background. A little background music so that we can officially start off.
Yeah, let it ride, you know.
Okay. All right, now, here is Kathleen's a little bit on break, so we're tearing up her show today. We're going to go through relational perspectives again so that you can have your say on what it is that you have to talk about as far as relationships are concerned. We have our host, Loki, with us. What's up, Loki?
Yeah, I'm ready to shake it up today. You know, see who's out there. See who's listening.
There we go. You know, I was going to say, you know, we like to start off with a little bit more bite, a little bit more excitement. So, you know, since we had technical difficulties, I kind of had to bring it back a little bit.
That's all right.
Now, you know, and before we start, I wanted to ask you, did you get a chance to see the Steve Harvey movie over the weekend?
Not yet. No, I haven't had a chance to see that yet.
No, I know Finesse said he reviewed it before, and, you know, on the social network stuff I keep hearing, you know, it was a good show and brought up some interesting things. Well, I heard all sorts of, you know, it's the internet, so you're going to hear cross stuff. White folks didn't get it. That's what I read.
Some people get it and some people don't. I think I had a conversation with someone. A young lady said she's been thinking like that for, you know, years. There's nothing new to her, you know. So I mean, I think the movie for her was just a comedic, you know, break. It didn't tell her anything she didn't know already.
Oh, right. I guess that's the big thing. It's like, what do you, what are you going for the movies? What are you going to the movies for? Is it entertainment, or are you going to kind of learn something? So that had to be a little, So you know, like I said, you know, last week we didn't really want to bash the show at all.
So I thought we kept it clear. I mean, I think, you know, there are people who are going to gain something from it, and they stand by it, and they like what he's putting out, and there are those who, you know, who disagree, and that's always going to be that way. I mean, you're going to disagree with something everybody has to say, but, you know, no need to bash him, the book, or the movie.
Hey, you know what, and it seems like everybody and their mama has a book out anyway, so ain't no real big secret on that.
Right. Absolutely.
You know. So as I saw the responses, though, I have to say, it seemed like they were positive responses. But to movies like that, you know how each character means something to everybody else. So that's a good response for his show or for the movie, right? That everybody found kind of identification with each of the characters. So, you know, it made it personal.
Right. I mean, I think that's the part about it. It does make it personal, you know, and each person can identify with parts of that movie pertaining to their own lives, you know.
Right.
That goes without saying.
Hey, you know what? I think every movie is like that. And if Vanessa comes on, because I think he's going to come on today, if he comes on, I just watched the movie Columbino with Zoe Saldana. I just watched that movie today, and I'm going to have to bash him about it. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. All right. I guess on that note, we'll begin with our program. I want to welcome everyone again. You're listening to Relational Perspective on Ask Kathleen. You know, this is Esprit Radio, but sometimes we come on over here and do some shows over on Ask Kathleen. So Kathleen's taking a little break. Hopefully she doesn't, you know, kind of check in on us and see if we're tearing up too much. So we'll be careful.
Hey, I think we're really careful. I know all that respect for Kathleen. I don't want to tear up her show too bad. You know, get invited back.
See, you like to get invited back. Me, on the other hand, she's going to laugh at me, and she's going to mute my mic every time I'm on the show now. So, you know, I wanted to start the program off. You know, for all the callers out there, I want to say welcome to Relational Perspective. Folks in the chat, if you're out there, if you have a question, want to hit one on your phones, if you're on the lines, let us know. Join the program. This is an interactive conversation. But one of the things that we want to start off on this show is we want to talk about how is your behavior inside a relationship? How should it be? And we're going to start off, since we're men, we're going to start off from the men's perspective, and then we're going to tackle the women. But just in a healthy relationship, how should your behavior be to have a healthy relationship?
You know, that's interesting, man. We were talking last week about, you know, how relationships are defined today as opposed to years ago, you know. I mean, and that's really interesting because, you know, you talk about how our behavior is. And, you know, one thing we think about is, you know, in a traditional relationship, how men behave. And, you know, we're talking about chivalry and things of that nature. But I think by the most part, it goes back to being, you can't have a healthy relationship without being healthy yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you know, a man, and as we said, we're speaking from a man's perspective. We can't engage, you know, someone in a relationship if we haven't taken care of the things we need to take care of. And he and I were talking about that, you know, this weekend, about the fact that, you know, we move from situation to situation to situation without healing, without reflecting, without assessing, without self-examination. And we drag a lot of that luggage from ourselves and our past relationships into our new relationships. And, you know, for the most part, I think of what?
Yeah, you know, I want to kind of break that down into a couple of sections, right? And so just from your relationship and how you handle your your woman, how you handle your family as far as your kids are concerned, and then how do you handle your family? Because I know that that's always a question. So first and foremost, we want to talk about how do you handle your girlfriend or your wife in relationships. Does she always come first? Is that just a mantra, or is it kind of like, you know, we're just supposed to be chivalrous anyway, but she has to understand that you have to take the lead? I'm just trying to break it down for the audience.
Well, you know what? I think, and this is the interesting part, okay, for me, I had to go through this growth process, you know, this transformation. And as they say, don't try to transform yourself, or women, don't try to transform your man, leave it for the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? So I had to get into that worldly walk in order to learn how to be a better man. And we'll talk about a book that I read that, you know, has a lot to say with that, you know, that helps strengthen me. But it has to do with how you treat yourself based on your relationship with Christ, I think, for me. And then setting that aside, starting with, you know, my wife and my family, and, you know, if you're dating, you know, the girl you're seeing or whatever, you gotta develop yourself, know how well you treat yourself, and then take that to the next level with how you treat those that you're involved with or dating or seeing. You know, you gotta separate that time, and it all has to do with, if there's a healthy you, then you can have a healthy relationship with your family members, your siblings, you know, your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever. You know,
right.
But I think the biggest part of it is we were talking about this last week, is taking that time to develop yourself. You have to have some standards. You have to have some kind of, you know, spiritual relationship, whatever you claim, religion you claim, whatever. But you've got to have some kind of spiritual foundation that helps you, you know, take that time to yourself and develop from within yourself, and then
right.
Allow you to set standards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and from that part, I just want to say, you're saying, when you work on yourself, I am talking about the interaction part, because, you know, you're supposed to come whole to some degree anyway. But when it comes down to it, how is your behavior, like how does your behavior as an individual affect your relationship? Like, is it that you can't stay out late like you did before, or is it that you, you know what I mean? Like, it is...
Well,
those things that
comes
you expect,
with, you know,
expect
yeah,
to
that
do.
Comes with the communication, man. That does come with, and this is what we're talking about, boundaries. You know what I mean? You have to have some kind of healthy boundaries between you and the person you're dating, even with yourself. I mean, you know, as you grow, we all know this, as you grow, you don't stay out as late as you used to stay out. You don't drink like you used to drink, if you drink at all. You don't do the things you used to do, see the people you used to see. You know, so that comes with it. So in your relationship, your behavior has a lot to do with who you're dating and how their perception of a relationship also. So that goes back to that conversation about relationships. And, you know, it's funny how some people can date and then get serious, but once they get engaged or married, they got two different, you know, perspectives on what marriage is and what relationships are and boundaries. And as
no,
far
no.
as...
Go ahead.
What?
No,
well,
I
as,
was...
I
was
as far as staying
thinking,
out late and things of those natures, yeah, you know, those things change. I mean, you should want to be with the person you're dating. You should want to be with the person you're married to. And yeah, on occasion, you may stay out late, but, you know, nowhere near like you used to do.
Right, but, so I'm thinking from my, not from my perspective, you know, I don't try to inject too much personal in this, but just from my online viewing interaction, I see a lot of people say things like, if I went out when I met you, you should be all right, or used to drink with me, so how come you're not enjoying the things that you always did? Like, what part of that part of a relationship should or should not change?
I think it all should change. I think, you know, this whole thing, it really is about growth, man. It's and for men, it's about transformation. It's about growing. I tell people I didn't learn to be a man a couple of years ago, and it's about responsibility, accountability. So that thing about, you know, when you met me, I did this. Yeah, but, you know, when you think about the relationship and what does it mean to you? What is the value of that relationship? What is your sacrifice in being in that relationship? So that behavior especially with men, because, you know, we like to be stubborn and we like to hang on to the things we had before we got into the relationship. But a lot of those things don't transition into a relationship. They just don't, and they shouldn't. You know,
right.
That behavior you had as a single man, you got to check that at the door, because it's no longer just about you. And for married men, we all know that, you know, it's about mama. Because if she's not happy, nothing's happening. You know,
right.
Nobody's going to be happy. So you got to check that behavior at the door.
Right. And so it's kind of more like an evolution more than anything, one or the
Absolutely.
Other. Or, okay.
Yeah.
Right, and not just such a blatant, we should always stay the same. Now, I do, you know, often say this to folks, is that everything's moving, so you're always moving, and you should be growing in life generally, so you shouldn't really care to stay the same as you were yesterday. But that's not what, again, the blogosphere stay. You know, everybody gets mad at people changing. Especially because people change at different rates. So I wanted to make sure I brought that to the forefront. So let's talk about...
Right. Some people don't want to change.
They,
some people
don't
like that change, you know. What you mean I can't hang out no more? What you mean I can't get drunk no more? What you mean I can't... You know, but that there we start dealing with sacrifice, you know?
Right. You know, I want to remind everybody, you're listening to Relational... Esprit Radio's Relational Perspective on Ask Kathleen. We have our host, Low Key Edwards, the commentary today. So don't ask me or Kathleen. Just send it to Low Key. We'll make sure that we have to put out your email address
email.
In case there's questions. But our calling number.
I was a disclaimer because you know I'm gonna call people out and they're welcome to call me out. Hit me on the FB. I mean. You know,
yeah.
Low Key Management at Hotmail. You can hit me there.
Okay. You know, and I'm going to make it clear. They can send their comments to comments, and then I'll delete them from there. But that would be my thing. And our calling number is area code 909. That's 1-909-265-9189. 909-265-9189. Join the program. Folks in line, hey, raise a hand or hit one. That would be raising your hand to me. If you want to join in, if you're in the chat room, call in or ask your questions in the chat room and we'll get to you. Now, we didn't talk about family yet, so I want to say, how is it, like, inside a relationship for the man, we're still on men for this particular half hour, but on the men's side, how are you supposed to handle having your wife or girlfriend? How are you supposed to handle your family when it comes to her? Because, you know, there's always those situations where women say things like, you know, once you're with me, your family is gone, I'm your family now, and that kind of stuff. How does that work inside of a healthy relationship?
Well, I think, you know, like anything, you have to have an understanding. You know, as I said, the young man that spoke last week said, communication creates clarity. Now, that is so true. The more you communicate, the more you get on the same page and of one accord, you get a better understanding. And, you know, the other part of that is understanding what my family means to me as I should understand what her family means to her. The other part of that is we need to have an understanding also of how she communicates with her family and how I communicate with mine, you know. And then we've got to sit down and talk about that because, yeah, it is. Once you get with the person you're dating and once you get with the person you're married to, yeah, they come first. They should come first because it's about building a healthy relationship. And from there, you begin to deal with family. But you also have to make it clear to family, you know, and they have to respect that boundary too. But I think anybody who loves you is going to understand that, you know, you're in a committed relationship and they're going to want to help you build that and that know that there's going to be time for the family. So you have to have an understanding. You have to communicate about it. You have to have that conversation about it, you know, what it means to spend time with each other's family. And that's, you know, that's big for brothers because sometimes we get in that mindset, well, I don't want to spend time with somebody else's family. You know, well,
right.
You know, you've got to come to a point. As I said, you've got to check it at the door because it's really about, you know, if you want to have a healthy relationship, it's about that communication. It's about that sacrifice. It's about that mutual respect, you know. And I think if you're having those conversations and that dialogue is happening, then you'll have that understanding of where you set those boundaries in dealing with each other's families and, you know, whose house you're going to for what holiday and, you know, so forth, so on.
Right. But when is it too early to have that conversation? You know how, you know, you date, you're in relationships, and you're going. Do you discuss that when you meet somebody? You know, while you're dating, do you say, this is how I want you to handle my family? If you got any problems, you need to see me. If you want to talk to my child, you need to talk to me. Like, do you have all of those conversations up front, or is that something that, you know, you cross the bridge when you get there? Like, you have to work on your relationship with each other first, but I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
but I think that's part of working on your relationship with each other is knowing before you get into a committed relationship, you should know where that person stands with their family. You should know what boundaries they've set as far as communicating with their children. You should know these things. So I don't think it's ever too early. I think you need to get that stuff out of the way. And it needs to be a continuous conversation and dialogue going on about those things. Sometimes I think what happens is we wait, you know, we think we're doing ourselves a favor by waiting, you know, I got to make sure he's the right one. I got to make sure she's the right one. And when you don't have that conversation and then, you know, you keep putting it off, next thing you know, you got a family situation and, you know, there's a problem now.
Right.
Because she didn't know how to take your sibling. She didn't know how to take, you know, the comment that was made. And you got to tell them, listen, you're going to have to be thick-skinned around this person. They tend to say things that, you know,
that's like a bad Thanksgiving. Coat,
you know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Don't sit too close to him. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to go through that, but it's just don't talk to him too long. Don't sit too close to him. And but that's anybody that, you know, you do that with your friends, right? When you invite friends around family, you know, when you go to cookout, you say, hey, all right. Now, watch out for this cat, and this cat don't like this, you know, and stay away from his girl.
Right.
So,
and you see that happening all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
Yeah,
so, you know, and
I was just thinking, you know, even to extend that to say, you know, when it comes to, let's you know, didn't want to throw anybody's mama out here, but let's talk about when it comes to that, because I know women have issues with this. So let's talk about that. It's like, I'm sure we have some ladies on the line. Right, chime in on this at any time. You know, our number 909-625-9189 if you're in the chat. Join us on this. But I really want to ask about, you know, I know women have problems with their boyfriend's mothers all the time, and there's always that comparison, I'm not your mama kind of stuff. How is it that the guy is supposed to approach this when he starts dating? What is he supposed to say? He, you know, outline,
well,
these are the things
I think, you know what, man, too often we become combative in dating, you know, and the whole thing about dating is, this person should be your friend. It's supposed to become your best friend, so there's nothing combative about it. So when I'm talking about my mother, then she should understand I'm coming from a place of love and respect and, you know, esteem for my mother. But at no time should I make it so that I'm comparing the two. And we should be clear on that. You know, she should understand that I hold my mother in high esteem. But at the same time, I know that if this is the woman I'm marrying, that she is moving in a position where my mother becomes second to her. And that's biblical, you know, and that's where we, like you said, that conversation has to happen. But when you get to a point where a man has to deal with, you know, a woman when she says, well, I'm not your mother, they've
right.
already gotten to a point in that relationship where there's some combative behavior going on, you know, and they're dealing with some other issues, not just I'm not your mother, but there's some deep-rooted issues there between the two of them, and that relationship is off to a rocky start before you get anywhere. You know, all in all, I think, you know, men don't tend to run into where a woman is always talking about her dad. You know, we don't have to say, well, I'm not your dad. But women always run into a situation where we have to deal with women, and we say, no, I'm not your mother, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and, you know. But I think that all comes down to the presentation, too, or how a man has presented the situation to his date or his fiance or whatever. If you presented it to her in a manner and you've introduced her to your mother, she understands, and she has an opportunity to meet your mother and conversate with your mother, and she understands that relationship and that bond, and she should love that, you know, not to the extent where, you know, some of us mama boys, you know.
Now, you know what? And I was going to say, I kept having a picture of the TV show Martin, but I'm not going to talk about his mama bird and all that other stuff. But it makes me think of that. But, you know, we have a caller online calling in, and I want to bring Jackie on to the show. Welcome to Relational Perspective on Ask Kathleen. How you doing, Jack?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
That's good. I'm doing good. Low-key, Jackie?
Hey, what's up, Jack?
Hey, Loki. I just wanted to make a comment about the guy's mother and whether or not the girlfriend is in competition. I'm probably not phrasing that correctly, but you guys know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. I think as a woman, I would have a problem if the guy did not treat his mother with respect or hold her, put her on a pedestal. My mother, one thing my mother always told me that has always stuck with me is that you can tell a lot about a man by the way he treats his mother. Now, the guy that I'm dating, his mother is deceased, but he's always been very close to her. He's still very close. He shares a lot of his memories about his mother with me. Around her birthday time, we did things in honor of his mother together. So, to me, if a man treats his mother right, that means he, I don't think it necessarily means he treats women with a whole lot of respect, but what am I saying here? I'm getting all nervous now. Bear with me for a minute, guys.
Exactly,
you know what I'm saying?
What
yeah.
That's something that
you know
stuck with me
that
my mother
that.
Shared with me.
Right. But that, you know what's interesting about that is,
if a man doesn't treat his mother right, why would he treat me right? You know what I mean? If he doesn't treat the woman who's given birth to him and gave him life, he's not going to treat any other woman right, chances are.
But you know what?
So,
you know what? That would apply, but you got to look at it from two perspectives. This is about perspectives, right? So suppose there's a situation where he's had bad dealings with his mother. You understand that you may not be privy to. So and he hasn't. You two haven't gotten to that point in the relationship where he's expressed that to you. Maybe too painful. But this is that part about men getting to a point in life where we have transitional spiritual recovery, where we get past that point and we're able to deal with the situations in our past, and I can express to you whatever situation I'm having with my mom, and if this woman is strong that I'm dating, she's going to urge me to mend the fence with my mother. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the situation. So, and yeah, at times we can look at it and say, if he's not treating her right, then he ain't going to treat me right. But you got to judge a man by his heart. You know, if you can get to that point of him, you got to judge a man by his heart. Honesty, respect, consideration, you know. But
it
depends on where they are.
And to Jackie's point, though, I just wanted to say, it is true that you can see how guys treat other women, not necessarily your mother, because you know you have sibling issues and stuff that make you have parent issues, but fundamentally, if they're just cruel to their mother, that is probably a red flag, wouldn't you say, Jackie?
Mm-hmm. I would, and I'm not saying that's judging his character entirely. I think that's just a small part of who that person is, but it is a red flag to me. If he treats his mother like crap, then why would I expect any different for the way that he would treat me? Again, that's not judging who he is entirely, but that is a red flag for me. And then, two, I think you guys are talking about drawing a blank again. But what I want to say is I would never be in competition with anybody and his mother. Those are two different relationships. My relationship with a man is going to be different from that of which he has with his mother. You know, and I would never be jealous of that. If anything, I would try to embrace it and get to know her.
And I think that's a good point. Stay with us, Jackie. We can keep your line open, but I want to ask Loki, even as we're talking about that and we talk about family and mothers and we didn't really talk about mothers and sisters, but I kind of met them in the same way because, you know, that whole woman competition of why are you treating her like this in my house? I think that stuff is out of the window. But
right.
how about friends? Like, how about, we're not going to go into the exes stuff right now, but just how about friends coming into, I know, don't laugh too much at that, but I know, this is it's going to get tricky. Do I need to take a break before we go into the tricky part of, you know what, I'm going to do that. We're going to take a quick break. Stick with us, Jackie. Stick with us, Low-Key. We're
going
to take a break. you're listening to Relational Perspective on Ask Kathleen. We're going to take a really quick break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit about how your exes and how your siblings, especially females, are impacting male relationships, and then we're going to start talking about female relationships. There will be no bashing. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back.
My collection is made of all the things that make me. You can tell my block got bigger, but I always remember where I started. And it feels great to move forward without leaving yourself behind. From uptown to downtown, it's all part of my style. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, thanks to where I've been. My style tells my story.
Introducing the Jennifer Lopez Collection, only at Kohl's.
There are so many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We're going to get underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Applebee's 2 for 20 is back and fresher than ever.
So, Dave, you and the wife at separate tables now?
Honey, it's my 2 for 20 club night.
I think it's my 2 for 20 club night.
So grab your 2 for 20 club and savor inspired new favorites like tender chicken fettuccine carbonara and garden fresh bruschetta chicken. Or go for a classic like our 7-ounce house sirloin. That's one appetizer, two entrees, just $20.
Mom, Dad?
It's the freshest 2 for 20 yet, only at Applebee's. Now serving half-priced appetizers late night.
Okay, welcome back to Relational Perspective on Ask Kathleen from S3 Radio, whole nother story. We have Low-Key, we have Jackie on the line, and we're going to stop people from partying right now. Wait a minute, because, you know, I know how we do when we have too much beat coming in.
Oh, man, I was getting a wobble on right there.
I had to bring the beat in low. So it's Low-Key, I had to bring the beat in low. So I want to welcome everybody back. Remember, our number is area code 909-625-9189. You're listening to Relational Perspective. We're back. We have Jackie on. Hey, Jack. You still with us?
Hey. Yeah,
hey.
I'm still here.
Okay. So we were just getting into how, God, I don't know, sum this up for me,
Loki. We're looking at how, and we're looking at this from a man's perspective, then we're going to switch over to women. But we're looking at how friends play a role in our relationships and the influence they may have or may not have. I think when we were talking once before about, you know, men having female friends, you know,
all right,
how
so
let me out for us.
All right, wait a minute. So let me start off with a question for you.
Sure.
Is it appropriate for And I know, hey, Jack, jump in anytime. Is it appropriate for men to have female friends in their relationships? Well, I'm sorry, when they start their relationships, because you can't do anything after. But when they start their relationships, what do you think, guys, is appropriate behavior in relationships, what guys should do about their female friends when they start new relationships? Loki?
Look at this. You know,
notice I tossed it to you real quick, right?
Yeah,
I want no part of that.
We once said that one thing about friendships is that, you know, it's a relationship first. So you have to have rules, boundaries, you know, whatever, requirements. So I think when it comes down to having female friends, you have to have boundaries, and you have to understand. I know if there's a situation where there's any kind of, you know, desire or you know, conflict as far as the friendships go, then you pretty much going to end in that relationship, that friendship. Because when you start to date, you can't have a situation where your female friend is causing a conflict within your relationship, you know. And they're always going to have their comments. I have female friends, and they you know, back in the day, they used to make their comments about whatever young lady or whatever. And depending on my relationship with that person, then I would either take that information or that advice or disregard it, you know. But I think you have to have boundaries. You have to have stipulations in there. And they have to respect that. You know, and that also determines who's going to be your friend or not, if they're going to be your friend. And then when you introduce them to the person you're dating, what their behavior is. Because that's going to dictate that, too, whatever your relationship is with that person.
All right, so Jackie, give us your perspective. What do you think about women, about female friends in your relationship? We don't have to be personal, but just in relationships generally with men. How do you feel about that?
Well, first of all, we all have a life before we meet that person that we're currently with. So in that, we're all grown and we've lived long enough, so we've developed friendships with people of the opposite sex. I think that's okay. I mean, I don't expect my guy to expect me to just drop every male friend that I've had before he came along because he's in my life now. It's about respect, number one. My male friends have to respect the fact that I'm in a relationship, and when they're around him, they have to respect him and respect my relationship with him. And then there's also that trust factor. If my man trusts me, then he should trust me and know that I'm not going to disrespect him or our relationship. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it as long as there is a boundary. I know Loki was talking about boundaries, and I agree with that. There should be some boundaries defined. And as long as those boundaries aren't crossed, then I don't see a problem with it.
All right. You know, I was with you until you got to the point where you said respecting women's boundaries with guys. I know that sounds like chauvinistic and two-sided, but Loki is knowing where I'm going with this because...
Let me understand because I'm lost.
Okay. Well, let me say this. I think it's pretty much appropriate that if you have a female friend who you're close to, when you first start dating somebody, you need to tell them, and you need to introduce them, right? Because anything that makes either one uncomfortable is just wrong. So I say if y'all, you know, as long as you introduce them, and if they don't get along, cool, stay away from each other, but we won't have anybody divorce on anybody else.
I agree, and I think that's part of the respect, you know, that I was saying, you know. There needs to be a level of respect. And as long as I'm introduced to, you know, the female friends and vice versa, then there's nothing to worry about. To me, it's when you keep things a secret and you keep people hidden, then there's a red flag there. Why am I not being introduced? I mean, I'm not saying I have to meet all of his female friends that he's ever had in his entire life, but if there are some that are in your life rather consistently, then I need to meet them.
Right, that's calling a house consistent. Like you don't want
right,
people on
right,
that.
Right, right,
They can't just say put them on the phone. Like they need to say hey, how you doing, kind of. All right.
Oh yeah,
so,
they need some introduction.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you're dating and you're serious about it, you've got it. You listen. You have to have that out. You got like we say, you go out to dinner, you go out, whatever. You take your friend out, and you have them meet the person you're with. And I think the one thing about it is if the female friend should basically have some of the similar characteristics as you as far as relationships go, so they're going to respect who you're seeing. And if they have an issue with it, they're going to tell you in private, and they're going to let you know. I'm not going to hold it against the person, but, you know, this is my issue. And, you know, that's another, like I said, that's that conversation when it comes to boundaries and you know, rules for relationships and friendships. You have to have them.
There you go. See, you both are nice, and so before I take it in a different direction, I just want to remind everyone, you can join in the conversation, area code 909-265-9189. We're talking relational perspective on Ask Kathleen and simulcast Esprit Radio, but doesn't matter because I'm about to get in trouble right now. All I'm saying, and Loki knows where I'm going with this, but Jackie, I just want you to kind of hear this from a guy's perspective, is that if a female has a guy friend, guys usually kind of right off the bat knows other guys who will cross the line on them regardless if the woman knows that. So you have to be really careful that the guy, whoever you're dating, is mm-hmm. if he has an issue with the guy who's your friend. Because I say in nature, guys will generally, and I say this generally, not talking about Loki, I'm just talking about guys. Because I had to give you a disclaimer on that, Loki. I can put myself in it, but, you know, it's kind of like why strip clubs exist. You know, my theory on that is
always.
If you beat a guy down at home, he's going to be the king someplace else, and so he's going to flash a dollar, and somebody's going to call him the king. So
right.
You can't really oppress a guy in the house,
that.
Is always that.
We did talk about that, though. I mean,
Wait.
No.
I was just telling my theory, so I didn't want to go there, but I just wanted to say that is a part of the problem, and we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that in the next break. But in this segment, I just want to say this, that with guys are – women are always options to guys. Women pick guys, for example. So a guy will hang around you all your life, and you'll go, I didn't know he liked me. It's just because you didn't show interest in him. And guys know that fundamentally. So just to break that myth of, you know, we're all just friends kind of thing, guys don't really think like that.
By the most part, men, we're leery of other men. It doesn't even matter. We're leery of other men. You can say he's my friend. This is my friend so and so, and we're going to give you that friend, that look. You know, friend. Okay,
right.
What kind of friend is he?
Yeah, I had a situation like that a couple of weeks ago with the guy I'm dating. One of my friends. No, he has a problem with one of my friends because he thinks that my friend likes me as more than just friends. So he saw some conversation, and he wasn't real happy about it. But my point is this.
Oh, hold on.
As long as you trust me, it doesn't matter what this guy thinks.
No, okay.
Let me finish my point. There's nothing going on. This guy, I've known this guy for years. I've known this guy for longer than I've been dating the guy I'm seeing. I've known this guy for years. We work together. You know, we've worked together for a number of years. We're friends. There's nothing going on with this guy. You know, I have no interest in the guy. We are strictly platonic friends. But because the guy I'm dating thinks that the other guy has stronger feelings and friendship for me, he has a problem with it.
Wait, before you start,
listen.
I want to say this to Jackie. Do you have Skype? Because you need to see Loki's face right about now. Because we are looking crazy. We're looking crazy, even as you're telling that story. We're like, yeah, he needs to get rid of him. I just wanted to tell her that because she doesn't know.
And that's right on point.
Wait, what was your
right
question?
Point,
why does he think that?
Listen, if you give us a split second, to develop doubt with taking it. Therefore, you're going to tell me that he has absolutely no reason to feel the way he feels.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that. I mean, you know, the guy has given an indication or two that,
okay,
you know.
Okay, so that's it right there. That's it right there.
However, no. Wait a minute. No. I can't help the way someone else feels. I'm not doing anything to encourage that. I'm not doing anything to encourage it. But he should trust me. His relationship is not with the other guy. His relationship is with me. And if he knows me and knows my heart, it doesn't matter what the other guy thinks.
It does. You're missing the point. The point here is this. Men, you know, if we're not spiritually developed in that area, then you can hang that as long as I know you and trust you, love you, stuff. You can hang that to
right.
Because we have to be spiritually and mentally developed to a point where I'm cool with that, no problem. But when I'm not there, what you need to understand is I'm a man. And I'm a man. I'm a man at heart. I'm a male creature.
But that's something he's going to have to work on because that's not my issue.
Right.
That's something he's going to have to fix. I can't fix that for him.
If there's a guy who has shown interest in you, who has made comments, and I am aware of them, then I got an issue with you being around him. And you got to understand something now. What you're doing is interjecting some bad blood or energy into your relationship because this guy has done this to you.
But lucky, we work together. I have to be in this guy's space because we work together. We work in the same office. I'm there to do my job. I have to interact with this guy. You know, number one, number two, he's married. He doesn't approach me inappropriately. He doesn't. We deal with each other on a professional level. And he's married. I have no interest in this guy. There's nothing there for me. Nothing.
Did he have interest in you?
No. Don't do that, Loki. Okay. So Jackie, we want to say that we don't normally beat up on the guests. So I just want to pull back a little bit. But I do want to say this. To Loki's point, that's a testosterone issue. So that's why you don't get it. Because the day that you have an office party, and that dude looks, mm-hmm. when you go to the bathroom and he looks at your boyfriend or husband funny, they're going to fight. Like, and you can't see that coming a mile away. But just know, if he's standing too close to you and looking at your man like, ha, you know, at him, that is an issue. If women, that's why when you're younger, some guys in the pecking order who can't fight, who don't like confrontation, won't date pretty girls. They're like,
right.
I'd be fighting all day. Because they know what other guys do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you know it or not,
right.
They are standing too close to them. They acting like they putting their arm around them. They're doing stuff to taunt them. So it's a bad. We're just the messenger at this point. But we're just saying that.
But don't
you
think that's a part of growth?
No.
Don't you think that's a part of growth?
No, I do. I believe it can be a part of growth.
I think that's a part of growth. I mean.
Right, but you're talking about the growth between your man opposed to the guy who's doing it. He's already trying to cheat on his wife, so I wouldn't count him in the growth area. Loki?
Yeah. I'm not talking about him. I'm not talking about him at all. I'm talking about my guy.
Your guy could be reasonable as possible, but he's still a man, and he got to protect the house.
My guy sees women every day. My guy interacts with women every single day. And, you know, I could let that get under my skin, but that's his job. He's doing his job. That's his job. You know, I can sit here and I can let my mind go all over the place, but I choose not to. I mean, I'm not being naive or stupid, but I understand this is a part of his job, you know, and I can choose to let myself go there and live in that. Or I can be secure in who I am and say, you know, if this man cares about me and he wants to be with me, he's going to be with me anyway. You know, if he wants to stay, he's going to do that anyway. I mean, I can't control
scenario.
His behavior. I can control mine.
Scenario. It's scenario time. I'm sorry. You're at the dinner party. You're at his dinner party. And he's still friends with one of his ex. And she's a little flirtatious. You're not feeling a little threatened?
I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, because I know they've had a history. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that I never get jealous or I would never get upset. I'm not saying that. I think that's different. I think it's different than if he's interacting with a colleague at work because they have to work together than a former person he's been in a relationship with flirting with him. And that's different.
But she's his colleague.
What's that?
She's his colleague. He worked with her. They just had a relationship in the past. You know, it could be 10 years.
Okay, that's different. There's a part A and a part B to that. She's not just a colleague. She's had her. Okay, that's a different scenario.
Right.
And I'm going to have a problem with it. And I'm going to have more of a problem if he reacts to it. See, my problem is going to be with him. Because he's the one that owes me the loyalty, not her. He owes me the loyalty. She doesn't owe me any loyalty. She's going to be a woman. Because that's what some women do. It's up to him to not react to that.
I'm with you, Jackie, on this one because low-key started this. I just want to tell you that was not me. He turned the conversation when it wasn't supposed to get turned. And so now we are literally going to change it from the woman's perspective because she just gave it to us. So since she put us in the mindset of what some other women may be taunting her for, because that's what we're saying about the guy, he's taunting him. And the thing is that with boys, and you can watch them in elementary school kids, on how boys taunt each other naturally and how women sit around and roll their eyes at each other from across the table, guys will play basketball or play some sports or wrestle with you and take a cheap shot at you more than they will sit there and roll their eyes at you. So we're just saying from a guy's perspective, they handle that differently. So when you watch some guy trying to get overly friendly with your woman, you just say, hey, you know what? You're going to have to stay away from him or I'm going to have to knock him out. And that's pretty much how we usually deal with it.
That's pretty much it.
And so instead of you saying that that's a growth problem on your man's part, it's not, because then he would feel like it's an issue of people taking his lunch money. Like, that's old school for us.
Well, you know what? I have to admit, since he and I've had that conversation, I only deal with this guy really strictly on a professional level now. I've limited the chit chat and that type of thing. I've kept that at a minimum. Because I'm trying to respect his feelings. I have kept it at a minimum. Now, we haven't shut it down completely because that's still my friend. Again, this goes back to a friend that I had before I got in this relationship. I shouldn't have to cut back my friends. He's a friend that I had before I started dating the guy that I'm dating. However, I do try to respect his feelings because I know how he feels. And, you know, I've cut it back, but I'm not going to cut him out completely as a friend. No, I'm not going to do that because I don't think that's fair. I'm not asking him to cut any of his friends off.
Okay, Jackie, you sounded kind of mean, so don't say that. I'm just, you know, trying to light it up.
I'm passionate about how I feel.
I realize you're being passionate. I'm just joking. Go ahead, Lucky.
Let me tell you something. When you, at some point, and it has to do with where you are in the relationship, at some point you will cut off the rest of the world. That's just how it works.
Well, I guess we're not there yet.
Right, you're not there yet, but it's not meant to be offensive. And I'm telling you, the people who love you and understand you will respect that and do what you accord.
I don't really agree with that. I really don't. I think, why can't I love my man and still have my friends or have people that were in my life before he came along? Why can't he just embrace? Now, maybe he may not embrace this guy, and I can understand why. But I'm saying other friends that are in my life. You know, why can't he just embrace my friends if they hit it off? They may not hit it off, and that's cool too. And why can't I embrace his friends? Why do we have to start cutting people off because we're in a relationship? Why can't we have friends? That goes to having your own outside interest. You know, it's like, I feel like I'm going to like the things that he likes. Huh?
I'm not saying as in, you know, when they say cut people off, what I mean is that you have to have it's a boundary thing. In other words, you know, I still have friends and I still have family, but you know what? I don't get to see them and talk to them as much as I would like to, as much as I used to, because I have priorities and my family is my priority. You know?
Oh, I agree with that. I agree.
And so that's what I'm saying. Basically, you get to a point in life where everything else becomes secondary. to what's happening in your life. It's not that they're not your friends anymore, but you have to be careful of the ones who have ulterior motives. And like Roman said, you know, as men, we're really careful when it comes to that, you know, because if I pick up anything on another brother, then I'm going to have an issue with him. And like my brother, older brother, tells me all the time, straight no chaser. You know, like Ron said, you take my lunch money, I got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to dealing with those type of situations, and with women, with female friends, you've got to get to a point where if you know that that's going to be an issue, I'm sorry, but in the direction I'm moving in with my woman, my date or whoever, I'm going to cut that. I'm not even going to take that loss. I'm going to cut it.
Well, let me tell you this, Loki. Let's look at it this way. I'm willing, you know, if he comes correctly in this relationship or wherever it is, whatever it is you define what we have, you know, I'm not going to adjust my lifestyle until I understand what it is he's bringing to the table. He can't, you know, excuse my language, I'm about to say a little curse word, but he can't half-ass come into this relationship and then expect me to cut back my life or change my life. No, he's going to have to come correct. You know what I mean?
Again,
he's going to have to come correct.
Standards and stipulations and understanding. Our problem is that, and we move forward in these relationships, and I say situations. I call them situations because of their relationship or their situations. Because until you solidify them and you're committed and you know where you stand and you're on common ground with that person, then, you start to make some changes in your life. But, you know, this whole thing about not being on the same page and not having understanding, you better know where a person is coming from. And if you put it to them and they can't tell you, you know, I'm going to take a little more time to myself. Because until you can come to me correctly, me putting all my time into you and all my conversation into you and all my emotion into you, because the more time I spend with you, the more connected I become, the more emotional I become. So why am I going to do that if I don't know where I stand with you?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you got to get to that point where we're having these conversations and we get an understanding prior to, you know, this emotional connection. Because once we get the emotional connection, now we got a whole other situation going on.
Right. We're going to take a 60-second break. We're going to take a quick break, but I just want to say, because, you know, you can call in, you can join us. We have some folks on the line. Hit one on your phone if you want to join in. Area code 909-265-9189. You're listening to Relational Perspectives with Low Key. We have guest caller Jackie on the line who is blowing us up, took us all off course and stuff. So we're not blaming you. We love the fact that you're here, Jackie. I just want to tell you that. Hey, don't tell your man that. He might make you hang up. So all I want to say is that we're going to take a quick 60-second break. We're going to come back, and I'm going to tell you what my theory was on the whole strip club stuff in just a second. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
You know what? It's probably going to be interesting, I think. Loki, help me out. All right.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's going to get deep here in a minute.
We'll be back right after this.
You know that the ice cream scoop has the power to make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the golf tee brings friends together, that the mailbox keeps them connected. You know that the cataract laser helps you look to the future, while the pacemaker ensures that there's a future to be seen. You know that the lawnmower, the clothes dryer, and the elevator make life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. You know that these things we count on every day started as ideas. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support minority education today so we don't miss out on the next big idea tomorrow. The United Negro College Fund, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Please visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Relational Perspective with Low Key. Hey, you know, I know I was a little slow on the uptick. We took a little longer. We had a little bit more silence, and you know, it was Jackie. Her mic is on, but it was Jackie that kind of had me laughing during the break. So I just wanted to tell you that.
Oh, yeah, blame it on me. Blame it on me.
You know, we have to welcome the guest. It was a good laugh. How about that?
Blame it on the new girl.
Well, you're always welcome to be here, Jackie, and we're glad to have you on Relational Perspective. Now, here is my story. Oh, again, you're listening to Relational Perspective on Ask Kathleen. You can catch us out on iTunes and check out the podcast if you missed it, to share it with a friend and all of that good stuff. And we'll be posting it. I'm sure Loki will post it out there someplace. I'm sure Jackie may hide it. So I'm just joking. I am just joking.
Don't post it on Facebook.
Uh-oh. All righty. So here we go. So, yeah, you can't post it after I'm about to say what I'm about to say. So here's the thing. The theory is, well, it's not just a theory. It's actually the truth. The reason that no one will ever outlaw strip clubs is for a very good reason. And we won't go into the news story with the Secret Service, but I can tell you, prostitution is legal in some parts of Colombia, and just because they're Americans don't mean they don't observe local customs. But anywho, so all I want to say is this. I know, Loki, that was kind of reaching. But what happens with guys is that no matter what happens in their world, if they get oppressed at work, if they clean sewers all day, they are going to want somebody to pacify them. And so when you have women saying things like, I'm not your mama, and all of that good stuff, their girlfriends will be treating them like they're their mothers. So I just wanted to share that to say that strip clubs exist for really easy function in society so that guys will always look for moments to have somebody pacify them. And a lot of people actually go to strip clubs and stuff not to pay for sex and stuff. That's what most people think. But it's just that whole catering, pacifying, being a man. So people walk around with a wad of money just to have everybody kiss up to them. Not that they're going to do anything with them. It seems kind of cheesy, but it's been going on for eons. So I just wanted to share that. That's why I say that about strip clubs. They'll never go anyplace. Low-key, I know, I'm sure you have something to add to that. Before Jackie curses out, go.
No. I was about to say,
why didn't you ask me?
We're going to ask you, but I figured while the testosterone was going, I'm just looking for quiet. Looking for my
amen
moment.
It's an interactive panel. It's an interactive panel. You get your turn. That's why it's a perspective.
Right.
Let Jack have the floor.
Although we're talking about strip clubs, it is ladies first. Like, we really still respect that.
Oh, it wasn't going to be ladies first a few minutes ago. You just handed it over to Lil Key until I said something. But anyhow.
But would I recognize or recognize?
You have the floor now. You know, I'm watching the clock, though.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Let me go ahead and jump in there. Even though it is the 21st century, there are still some women that don't mind, quote-unquote, pacifying their man. You know, I don't mind stroking my man's ego a little bit every once in a while. I mean, I think as women, we need to be well-rounded. You know, I still think we need to be June Cleaver, Betty Boop, Rachel Ray in the kitchen. You know, I mean, friend, counselor, I think that's all a part of contributing to a healthy relationship. You know, now, if I'm doing all of that and he's still out there, then there's nothing else I can do. You know what I'm saying? Either he's going to be out there if that's what he chooses to do. But me, you know, speaking for myself, I try to be all those things. You know, I don't mind. I guess I'm kind of old school in that sense. I don't mind stroking him a little bit. I don't mind doing certain things for him. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to want him to do certain things for me that I need. You know, I think that's part of give and take in any relationship. Okay, that's my minute on the soapbox.
You know, I agree with you. And I was saying, I'm I am happy with the comment just because if you're doing all those things, he wouldn't go out there anyway. Loki?
Well, you listen, man. People need to understand something. You could be doing everything at home, and it's not going to stop a man from straying. It's just
I
not.
If that's what he chooses to do.
That man has to be somewhere mentally and spiritually where he is focused. His mind is not cluttered on unnecessary things. You understand what I'm saying? And part of that is the carnal, the flesh. You know, men, we get so distracted with so many other things that it doesn't matter what's happening at home sometimes. So that's what I'm talking about. You've got to be focused, and men have to be spiritually and mentally mature. Because if you don't have a spiritually and mentally mature man, guess what? He will stray. You know, so, yeah, those things, I'm not saying those things don't work and they don't have an impact. They do. They do have an influence on what he's going to do. But at
well,
the same
I
time,
think spirituality has a lot. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a spiritual person. But I think a person's going to stray whether they're spiritual or not if that's who they are. There are people in the church that stray. You know,
I'm not saying that spirituality is a big part of it.
I don't think that's going to determine whether or not somebody's going to stray. I think it's either in you or not. You know, either you're going to
do it or you're not.
No,
you're missing the point. You have to. This is about growth, and this is about transformation. And in order to have growth and transformation, you have to have spiritual and mental fortitude. I'm not saying a man who's spiritual, you know. No, I'm saying a man who is growing in his spirituality, who is seeking something out of that, who is seeking that relationship with Christ, who is deepening that relationship with Christ. Yeah, we're going to struggle. We're going to slip, but we're going to strive to be a better man. So I'm not just talking about people who are spiritual. Don't misunderstand me. You know, because, yeah, we could go all day with people who are spiritual, who've done whatever. But that's not the point. I'm talking about your man has to be one who is growing, who is seeking that growth, and who is committed to that growth. You know, and that's going to have a lot to do with whether he does pray or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you give, by not doing certain things or by behaving a certain way and by talking to him a certain way, yeah, you're going to also influence him to do other things too. But as I say to men today is, this ain't about what she says and does. It's about who we're supposed to be.
Right.
And I know I'm taking it in a different direction.
Right.
It's about who men are supposed to be.
Well, and I know I took us kind of off topic with that a little bit, but I was just making the point that people are going to crave attention generally anyway, and you can take, you know, I have never cheated in a relationship. That's just me personally, but I always say that you can make anybody cheat. Like there is a mechanism for that, seriously, even if that's not in your DNA that you do that. So you can push folks out of your space and they can find comfort in someone else. So I'm not saying that. It's
absolutely
kind of the point of what I'm saying is that if you don't feel like you're empowered inside of your house, you can't beat down some guy and expect him to be a man when he goes outside, because he's getting beat down, you know, whether at work, whether he likes his job, whether he has peer issues. And, you know, we get over that as kids in sports. And that's why you should probably let your kid play sports, is because what happens is that you learn positioning. You go to different parks to play basketball. You get pushed around. You get elbows. You understand how to handle guys. And if you don't, you end up trying to beat on women. Like, people who do that are usually beat down by other guys. And so that's where that whole thought came from, just to give you a little perspective on where the thought came from. It did come from a good space. It wasn't that I endorsed any particular kind of club. But it was coming from an honest place, just to say that when you oppress someone, they will lash out if you oppress them. But back on topic a little bit, I just want to say, like, okay, now, when we start talking about from the women's perspective, because we really didn't do that too much, from a woman's perspective, what behaviors just in general, and I'm taking this way back, in general, for a good relationship, what characteristics or what type of behavior should a woman have to have a harmonious relationship? And that's where we kind of want to bring the conversation back, because we started the show off with men, but we never talked about what characteristics in women that makes for a start for a harmonious relationship. Either one can go on this, but if you like.
Lowkey, why don't you start me?
Now you want to give me Lowkey. See, I was trying to.
I will. I think, you know, it has to do with where you are within yourself, I think, when you're dating. And for women, I think, you know, when we say the word submissive, a lot of women go, wait a minute. And I mean submissive to accountability, not submissive to a fool. You know what I'm saying? So that behavior to me has a lot to do with how you treat a man, how you respect a man. Because, well, you know, we both said, what's the biggest thing in a relationship a man is seeking? And a lot of people said sex. A lot of people said, you know, freedom. And it's not. It's respect. A man wants to be respected, and he wants to feel respected. So if you're, like Rum said before, if you're beating him down, that behavior, you know, that condescending, that aggressive behavior, that, you know, that competitive behavior, you know, it causes a problem. So to me, a woman needs to have, if she believes that I'm in the right place, then it's a submissive attitude to the fact that I'm going to be accountable, I'm going to be responsible. If you're not at that point, yeah, your behavior should still be considerate, should still be respectful, should be honest, you know, forthright and open. You got to have open communication, you know, open, honest communication.
Now, Lowkey, and you didn't get to the part where I'm just kind of thinking out loud. Are you saying in the relationship she should want to kind of find her way to a position, or should she be helping him find his way out in the world? Now, a lot of people, again, this is social media stuff that I'm looking through, but people will make the comment that if he does not already come in to the relationship with A, B, and C, and D, he's not worthy of being in a relationship. And so I'm thinking from the woman's side, what would be healthy for her? Because I know that if you look at young folks or really wealthy people on how they raise their kids, they send their kids out to find potential in a husband, but people who don't have anything want your husband to already have something. So I just want you to tell me from that perspective.
You know what's interesting about that comment, Rum, is I remember being, you know, in college, you know, years ago and having women saying, I came to college for a husband, you know, because their parents gave them, it was like this invisible list, you know, these things to look for, these characteristics, this potential. So, yeah, he may not come with everything, but he's building. He's working towards it. You know,
I think that's the key word, potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think potential is the key word, because everybody is not going to always be at the same place. But that doesn't mean that the other person can't get there. You know, the same drive and desire you had to get where you are, and I'm not saying either one of you, I'm just saying you in general, the same drive and desire one had to get where they are, you know, the person coming after them may have that same drive and desire, but it may take them a little longer to get there. But that doesn't mean that that's not a good person. That doesn't mean this person doesn't have the potential to get there. You know, and then going back to what you guys were saying about the woman, you know, beating up their man, beating the man down or whatever. I'm a big believer in holding my man up, holding each other up, you know, being each other's support, because I feel like this. We go through enough stuff in our everyday lives. I don't want to have to come home. I'm beat up every day on my job, you know, for one reason or another. I don't want to have to come home and get beat up by my partner, you know. So I think there should be that level of support both ways. And then, too, what some men fail to realize, and the guy that I'm dating, I had this conversation just last week. He made the comment that I want to always control, which is very untrue. And a lot of men make the mistake of, when they see a strong woman, they make the mistake of thinking that she always wants to be in control, which it really is not very true all the time. I don't always want to be in control. Believe it or not, a woman wants a man to lead a lot of times. There are times where, yeah, I may take the reins and control a little bit, but I don't want that all the time. I don't want to have to wear the pants and the skirt. Sometimes I just want to wear the skirt, and I want you to wear the pants, you know?
Well,
just because I'm a strong woman doesn't mean I always want to be in control. That couldn't be farther from the truth. Sometimes women want to play the quote-unquote submissive role, and low-key, like you said, not submissive to the point of being a fool, but what I'm saying is submissive to the point where I want my man to lead this time. I want my man to be the man, and I'm going to walk by his side. I don't want to be in control all the time. You know, yes, I am a strong woman, as you can probably tell, but I want the man to be a man sometimes. I don't always want to be in control. And you know, that was the problem I had. I was in a very, very long-term relationship, and that was one of the problems that we had, is that I felt I was always in control. You know, I felt that I always had to make the decisions, because if I didn't, nothing would get done, nothing would get accomplished. And that was a big part of a problem in our relationship, is that I wanted him to lead. I wanted him to be the man and wear the pants.
Okay, but let me ask you this, Jackie. Did you want him to lead, or did you want to tell him what to do? Like, those are two big differences.
No, I really didn't, Esprit. Really, seriously, I really didn't. I didn't want,
okay.
I don't want, yes, believe me, a woman does not want a man that she can control.
No,
most
okay,
women
no,
don't.
And
not all women.
Joking about that. Go ahead, Loki.
Some women do.
Some women do,
let's
but
honest,
I personally, I don't want a man that I can control. Because to me, that's a punk. I don't want a punk. I want to date a man. I want a man that, you know, knows how to put his foot down sometimes. Because I could be a handful, I admit it. You know, so I need somebody that's equally strong that can handle me. What's that? I didn't hear you.
Okay.
When we launch the next show, when we launch the actual show itself, I really want to talk about men, too, about us being men. You know, because we can ask women all types of questions, tons of questions, but it means nothing if we're not doing what it is we need to do as men. And we use the term men, but let's be honest. Let's be serious about this. You know, one thing I learned from my father was that you have to examine yourself. And there lies the challenge for a lot of men. Are we honest with ourselves? You understand what I'm saying? So we talk about we want a man to take charge. We want a man to be in control. You better have that conversation so he knows what that means. Because not every man knows what that means. You know, we say we're men, but just because we say we're men doesn't make us men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we talked about leading families, and we talk about leading in relationships. You know, I lead, you follow. We got to know what that is, because I may have a like Rome said, I may have a totally different perception of what that means. You know, like we were saying earlier, Rome. Hey, I was drinking before you met me. What you? Now you was okay with it. You know, now you don't want me drinking. You know, but you said you want me to lead. I'm making these decisions.
Well,
that's my perception.
Well, I didn't say lead all the time. I said there are certain cases where I want you to lead. I'm not saying I'm going to be following behind you all the time. I'm just saying there are certain times where I think you need to be the man and you need to put the pants on and lead this thing, but there are certain times where we're going to walk side by side and do this thing together. Well, I'm going to lead, but women don't want that all the time is what I'm saying.
Do you think a man would be offended by you telling him what you think, what your perception of a man is? Have you ever told a man that?
What is? I didn't hear you.
What your perception of a man is?
What my perception of a man is? No,
yeah,
I don't think a man would be offended, because I'm not trying to do it in a malicious way, and I'm not trying to degrade him in any way. You know, I'm just being honest. I'm just saying
Have you ever asked a man that? What does it mean to be a man to him? Have you ever asked the guy you were dating that question?
What it means to be a man to him? No, I don't think I've ever. We've had the conversation recently because, like I said, he made a comment that, you know, I always want to be in control, and I don't. But we had the conversation briefly, and I told him I don't always want to be in control, you know. There are times where, yeah, I will be, but no.
Okay,
but
I want
to
just.
Should a man know what it means to be a man? Why should I have to define that?
wait,
well,
okay.
You know what?
I want to disagree with both of you on this and just kind of break and say, call in, area code 909-265-9189. You know, I find myself laughing about this for this reason. You know, I don't know how I would take that if somebody asked me that question. Like, what? How do you define being a man? You know, I don't know how to. Anyway,
yeah,
so anyway, call in, join in.
I don't know if I would ever ask a man that.
But we need to do that. I would not be offended by that question. I would not be offended by that question because I'm true in who I am. I'm comfortable with who I am. And you ask me that question, I can give you a definitive answer. So no man.
So what is it?
Understand? No real man should be offended by that question. You know.
So I want you to define that.
For me, what does it mean?
I would like for you to define what it is to be a man. What is your definition of that?
I know. I was like, wait a minute. Go ahead. I'll let you go, Loki.
Oh,
go
sorry.
Ahead.
Am I?
No. It's funny to
it
me.
Is your
see,
show.
I would. I would. No. It's Loki's. No, I'm just saying. Okay. I would not be able to answer this question. So we're gonna let Loki do it because I think it's a setup. But anywho, Loki, roll on it. You can roll with this one.
So check it. When I was talking before about spiritual and mental growth, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was a few years back, you know, I thought, hey, I'm a man. I'm a man. I'm doing me. I'm, you know, when you look at men, they talk about I'm doing me. I'm doing what it is. I'm doing whatever it is. I'm you know, when we were young, you was a man if you had more women than anybody, right? You was a man
mm-hmm.
if you had the best cars, right? The best clothes. You were a man, you know, and then when you made a baby, you were a man. Now I understand to be a man means to be accountable, to be a leader, to be respectful, to be considerate. And the other part of that is to be able to, if my wife says something to me I totally disagree with that hurts my feelings, I'm going to take it. I'm going to pause. I'm going to give it thought. And then I'm going to come back in a respectful, considerate manner to respond to it, and I'm learning that. I'm not saying I've always been there, but I'm learning what it is to be a man now,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to thinking I was a man before. You know, I was judgmental. I was, you know, I was disrespectful, inconsiderate. So I understand now that that's not a man. Those things don't make a man.
All right. So since we're on Ask Kathleen's network, let me give you this. Just because we're on Kathleen's show. I know you should have applause on that because, you know, I wasn't writing that down or nothing, but, you know, I wouldn't answer it, but, okay, that was a good definition on from that perspective. I don't know how I would answer that because I just kind of think that it's loaded to
it is
to
loaded.
Do,
it is loaded.
To do
no,
self-evaluation. I think that you get to evaluate me based upon what my actions are, and so I won't tell you who I am because I am different to everybody. And so I think people's perspective of who you are is kind of
I agree with that. I agree with that. That's why I don't think I would never come out and ask a man that. I think I would get to see whether or not you're a man by your actions with me, by your actions in general, just who you are as a person. Because, you know, Loki, you were saying, you know, some men think, you know, the more women they have, the more babies they make, blah, 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 blah. To me, that's not being a man because a boy can make a baby. You know,
right,
a man is going to make
again.
A baby and take care of it. That's a man
once
to me.
Again.
So your actions are going to show me whether or not you're a man. You can sit there and tell me anything, but it's your actions that are going to prove to me whether or not I will consider you a man.
So then why wait? Why wait and watch his actions to define whether he's a man or not? Ask him the
because
question.
To me, sometimes actions speak louder than words. People can tell you what it is they think you want to hear. He can sit there and tell me, I'm a man because I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. But until he actually does it, that doesn't make him a man to me until he actually does it.
Well,
he can sit there and say anything.
Question, Once you've asked the question, now you've gotten grounds to hold them to it. And when you see
I don't see why I should have to ask the question. If you're showing me who you are.
You're on two different pages. You're on two different pages.
No,
if I have a perception of what a man is and you have a different one, and I'm acting out what I believe a man is, and then you say, well, you know, you're not real. I thought you were a man. You're not really being a man.
It's up to me to walk away or stay in that situation. Then I can't blame him, because if he's showing me that he's not a man by his actions and I choose to stay, then that's my fault. But if he's showing me he's not a man, and I say, well, you know what? He's not the man that I thought he was. This is what I expect in a man, and he's not that person, then I need to bounce. Then that's up to me, you know? Then I get what I get if I stay in it.
That question is loaded because it's loaded with expectation. That's why it's a loaded question. It's about expectation.
Right, and you know, and even with that being, you know, with expectations, I just want to say, when it comes down to it, it's very difficult for anybody to identify. I can tell you what kind of values I have. Now, I'll give you a really quick story. Is that one of our friend's wives said to me that you know, we all love you, not because we know what you will do, but we know what you won't do. And that is hard for women to figure out about anybody. Everybody wants to know what time people go to lunch and what time they drink water and when they go to the bathroom. You are very difficult with this, but we know what you won't do. And that's a better definition of someone opposed to what your expectations are. So I know those questions seem loaded, but you can it's your interpretation about someone's actions, because you won't ever find potential in people if you think you already know them. You'll just think they're never going to be nothing. So it's always that.
I think we go through this, and we are content with where we are, with how we operate, and how we deal with each other. But you know what? It requires change. Sometimes you're going to be uncomfortable with the position people have put you in, and sometimes that's a good thing. So I have no problem with being held accountable with a woman asking me, what is my perception of a man, of being a black man? What does it mean to you to be a black man? I don't have a question, whether you're a white man, but whatever man. I don't have a problem with someone asking me that question, because it's like someone saying to you, well, what does it mean to you to be a father? We'll ask that question, but we won't ask somebody, what does it mean to be a man?
Right. And you know, and I know we only have like probably about 4 minutes left in the show, but I do want to make sure that we get to this part of the question. How is it that in a relationship, how should you handle your extended friends, not just their family? We missed that on the woman's part on how she, you know, should deal with her in-laws or mother-in-laws or, you know, boyfriends or husbands, brothers and sisters. But how should they deal with extended friends? We didn't cover that at all. So I want to, you know, Loki, from dealing with somebody's friends when you're in a relationship, what are the boundaries that you should have with your wife or girlfriend's friends? And Jackie, you can say from the guy's perspective. Go ahead, Loki.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, in dealing with those friendships, I don't have a problem, man, with friendships. You know, and I think, as I said earlier, you have to have boundaries or you're going to have negative impact. You know, you have to have boundaries on how much they have to say in your relationship, how much they influence your relationship. And as I said before, if they're a real true friend, they're only going to tell you the right thing, you know. And they're going to know when to stay out of your relationship based on your relationship with them, based on the stipulations and the boundaries and the rules you have for your friendship. So I think in dealing with women and dating women, I've come across some man haters. So, you know, the biggest issue I had was the communication that I had with my spouse or my girlfriend or whoever I'm dating stays between she and I. Whatever we're dealing with stays between us. So that way I won't have to judge your friends after they make a comment and I don't care for it.
Okay.
You know, we won't have that problem.
Okay, and Jackie, what would you say about that?
I agree with a lot of what Lokey said. You know, I'm a big believer in setting boundaries and adhering to those boundaries. You know, I have a couple of girlfriends that I've been friends with. One of them I've been friends with her for the past almost 31 years. You know, the other I've been friends with for almost 25 years. And I value what they have to say because we're as close as sisters. We're very, very close. So the things that they say to me with regards to my relationship, I'm going to take it at heart. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that I'm friends with can say those things because everybody hasn't earned that right. You know what I mean? They haven't
right.
been for, we don't have that type of friendship. So I guess it depends on where it's coming from and who it's coming from. But at the end of the day, there are boundaries, you know, and the final say is mine, but I'm going to hold what they have to say in very high regard because I know they're my girls and, you know,
right.
we have each other's back. So.
Right. Okay, well, I guess we're going to have to leave it there as far as that's concerned. I want to thank you, Jackie, for joining us and hanging out with us today. Hopefully we didn't scare you off.
Huh? No, I'm not afraid of you guys. I'll be back.
I didn't say be afraid of me. I was talking about Lokey. All right. So, Lokey, do you want to give us some final words and final thoughts today?
Hey, you know, one thing I end on is in order to change, I must first be honest with myself.
All right.
That's it.
That's it. Short and sweet. All right, well, Lokey and Jackie. All right, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Relational Perspective on Ask Kathleen. Hey, it's a show that we do on Esprit Radio. We're bringing it over, have a little fun, you know, every now and then to break the monotony. And I just want to leave you in the words of our 44th president, the forces that divide us are not as strong as the forces that unite us. Thank you, and join us again next week. Check out Esprit Radio, Esprit Net News Radio, on our network, espritradio.solasyracuse.com, every Thursdays, 11 p.m. All right, join us again next week. And remember, all contents of this program is protected, may not be reproduced, distributed, transmitted, or otherwise published without prior written permission of Esprit Media or Ask Kathleen. All right, so see you again next week. All right, for Lokey and Jackie,
hey.
See you guys.
Good night.
All right, later.
Bye.
Bye.